ladies and gentlemen, Richard and Karen, the Carpenters.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they long to be close to you. Why do stars fall down from the sky every time you walk by? Just like me, they long to be close to you. On the day that you were born, the angels got together and decided sprinkle moon dust in your hair, a golden starlight in your eyes of blue. That is why all the girls in town follow you all around. Just like me, they love to be close to you.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is Keith Skews saying a very warm welcome to a special programme where for the next 2 hours it is my pleasure to welcome to the airwaves Richard Carpenter of the Carpenters. Richard, you came to the eyes of the British public in September 1970 through the song we've just heard there, Close to You, which was written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. Since then, the Carpenters have enjoyed sales of records in excess of 70 million around the world. You've had 18 consecutive hit singles, 6 platinum and 4 gold albums. And to many listeners, you were one of the most successful musical duos of all time. May we begin by going back to New Haven in Connecticut in the United States of America. You were born in 1946 and your sister Karen 5 years later. What do you remember of those early days?
Oh, quite a bit, really. First off, yeah, let me say, I was born October 15, 1946, so I'm a boomer. And Karen was born 3.5 years later, in March of 1950. And we did grow up in Connecticut. We left for California when I was 16 and Karen was 13. Well, I remember, of course, the change in seasons, which we really don't get all that much in Southern California, and really being surrounded by a very loving family and a good deal of music. We had quite a few records. My father had quite an eclectic record collection, and I used to listen to a lot of his different recordings.
You went to Yale University, and I believe it was here that you continued to study the art of piano playing, which you had, in fact, begun, I believe, around about the age of 12.
Yeah, I started normal at home piano lessons, and I got to a point where my teacher felt I should audition for the Yale Piano School, and I was 16 at the time. And the policy there was really, I mean, you could be three. It didn't really matter if you had the talent to be accepted. That's all that mattered. So I got in and studied there for a year, and then we moved to Southern California. And it was the same thing there. I auditioned for the USC Piano School and studied there also.
When did the Carpenters come to be formed?
Well, the actual the Carpenter sound that we know today and that actual title was 1968. Previous to that, I had a trio. Karen drummed and good friend Wes Jacobs played bass. I played piano, and then that was in 65 and 6. And then
was that more of a jazz trio?
It was a jazz trio, yeah. And every now and again we'd do some pop music. It was right around the time that Karen was starting to sing. And she was really more interested in playing drums than singing at the time, so it was kind of a bit of arm twisting. But of course, as time went on, she came to love singing, of course. In 67, I formed a vocal group that was Carpenter-esque. And I wrote the music, and John Bettis did the lyrics, and I did the arrangements.
Was that Spectrum?
Spectrum, that's right. It just didn't click. It was, of course, soft music, and we couldn't get any club gigs, and the group couldn't subsist so on what we were making, because some of them didn't live at home. And at any rate, it disbanded, and Karen and I believed in the sound very much and started making demo tapes of really the same material that Spectrum was performing, but with Karen and I taking all of the vocal chores.
How did the Herb Alpert connection come about?
It's really quite a convoluted story, a series of events that led up to that. But it was, to make a long story short, through a friend of a friend and a wife of this one and that one to someone who knew Herb when he was in high school and the thing, this tape got to Herb, and he liked it. We signed with A&M in April of 1969.
And A&M looked back. you're still working
still
with
A&M,
him, and I believe
yes.
He features on your latest LP, which we'll come to later in the program. How long have you actually been writing songs, Richard?
Oh, I think since the fourth grade, really. Not that, of course, the early ones amounted to much, but they were original songs. So that's been... Well, however old one is in the fourth grade, a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a song right now which was not written by yourself, and in fact Paul Williams, and it's a tenderly haunting ballad which certainly gave Karen the opportunity of showing off her talents to the full in We've Only Just Begun.
We've only just begun to live. White lace and promises, a kiss for luck and we're on our way.
We've only begun
walking and learn to run.
And yes, we've just begun. find a place where there's room to grow. And yes, we've just begun
sharing horizons that are new to us, watching the signs along the way.
Place where there's room to grow.
And yes, we've just begun.
Carpenters and For All We Know, which was the theme music from the film Lovers and Other Strangers. Richard, I heard a rumour that the song was written by members of the group Bread, although looking on the record label, I see the names Rob Wilson, Arthur James, and Fred Carlin.
Right. Well, it was one member of the group Bread, and his name escapes me, and he was using a nom de plume. But that's true. One member of Bread wrote... some of the lyrics. Fred Carlin wrote the beautiful melody, and I might mention that Roger Nichols wrote the melody to We've Only Just Begun, and of course Paul Williams did the lyric.
Well, next up, Richard, we have I Won't Last a Day Without You, and we'll follow that with Goodbye to Love.
I Won't Last a Day Without You, again, is a Nichols melody and Williams lyric. That really came to my attention in the traditional way, which some of them don't. It was submitted in a stack of demos from the publishing company, and it caught my ear. Goodbye to Love, of course, is an original. That's my melody and John Bettis's lyric. And that was the first single, actually, that we had written. We'd written album cuts up until that point.
Okay, we'll hear those two back to back. I Won't Last a Day Without You and Goodbye to Love from the charts in Great Britain of 1972, and they reached number 9.
Day after day, I must face a world of strangers where I don't belong, and that it's strong. It's nice to know that there's someone I can turn to who will always care. You're always there when there's no getting over that rainbow. When the city seems to be without a friendly face, a lonely place, it's nice to know that you'll be there if I need you, and you'll always smile. It's all worthwhile when there's no getting over that rainbow, when my smallest of dreams won't come true. Touch me and I end up singing. Troubles seem to up and disappear. You touch me with the love you're bringing. I can't really lose when you're near.
When you're near, my love.
If all my friends have forgotten half their promises, they're not unkind, just hard to find. One look at you and I know that I could learn to live without the rest. I've found the best when there's no getting over that rainbow, when my smallest of dreams won't come true. Say goodbye to love. No one ever cared if I should live or die. Time and time again, the chance for love has passed me by. And all I know of love is how to live without it. I just can't seem to find it. So I've made my mind up, I must live my life. I've always known I'd say goodbye to love. There are no tomorrows for this heart of mine. Surely time will lose these bitter memories, and I'll find that there is someone to
Greetings if you've just joined us this Christmas time, 1987. Before the break, you heard two chart successes from 1972, I Won't Last a Day Without You, and Goodbye to Love. Our special guest is Richard Carpenter of the Carpenters, and we're playing a selection of their music over the years. Richard, we've now reached Yesterday Once More, written by yourself with a little help from your friend John Bettis. What, in fact, is the song based on?
Well, there was a resurgence in oldies, in the early 70s in the United States, which we thought was just fine. Karen and I were really always into the oldies, and I got to thinking that a song really hadn't been written that kind of spoke to that resurgence. That combined with the fact that we had been doing a medley of oldies in our show, and we enjoyed doing it very much. It was accepted quite well by the audiences, and we thought that for what turned out to be the Now and Then album, that we'd put together one side of oldies done up as a radio show with a disc jockey and like that. So Yesterday Once More is what ultimately came out of that. It really speaks of the resurgence.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite songs. When they played, I'd sing along. It made me smile. Those were such happy times, and not so long ago. How I wondered where they'd gone. But they're back again, just like a long lost friend. All the songs I love so well. Every sha-la-la-la, every woe still shines. Every shingle-ling-a-ling that they're starting to sing.
it's yesterday once more.
Shoo-be-doo-lang-lang. Shoo-be-doo-lang-lang.
Looking back on how it was in years gone by and the good times that I had makes today seem said, so much has changed. It was songs of love that I would sing to then, and I'd memorize each word. Those old melodies still sound so good to me as they melt the years away. Yesterday once more.
Reviving the sounds of the 1950s and the 1960s, yesterday once more from the Carpenters. Richard Carpenter is with us for 2 hours today. Musically, Richard, we've reached the top of the world. This record I first heard, I hate to place drop, but when I was visiting Nashville in 1973. The record reached number 5 in Great Britain, but it was number 1 in the United States. Do you take any interest in how your records are doing around the world? And, for instance, here with Top of the World, were you worried that it didn't reach the top in Britain?
Oh, well, that's something that, of course, no one can predict, no one can answer, but, I mean, 5 is perfectly fine with me. it doesn't matter if it goes to 1 or not. I mean, it became a hit, and people certainly know the tune, and certain times a record would do better, well, in Britain or Japan than it would in America, and other ones would do a little bit better in America or Canada or this country or that than some others. So it's I know Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft did extremely well in the UK and just all right in the United States.
LP wise the singles 1969 to 1973 was a superlative album. It went straight to number one in this country in the album charts. I'm sure it did in America as well.
Yes.
Was it your idea to put all the singles onto one album? Because in the 1970s, that was a fairly novel idea.
Yes, well, I used to really get a little upset being a fan of music and of records when I'd pick up these so-called greatest hits LPs by artists who had been fortunate enough to have a string of hits, and I'd only see maybe 50 or 60%. And then the company would save maybe 2 more hits for a volume 2, and then everything else would be filler. And to me, that wasn't right. To me, a greatest hits LP, well, it should have all the hits on it.
Yeah, but a lot of people couldn't manage to find 12 or 14 tracks, probably.
No, but I'm saying there were people who had quite a number of hits, and yet the label wouldn't put them all on one album. You'd get some filler, and then they'd hold off a couple and for like a volume 2.
That's
and
nice.
I just didn't... I felt that if we had enough... After that, Fine and Dandy, and of course that led to the single 74 to 78. But no, I wanted it to be an honest-to-God greatest hits package. And we decided to call it the singles because that's really what it was. Every tune on there was a single.
I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
There's a pleasing sense of happiness for me. There is only one wish on my mind. When this day is through, I hope that I will find that tomorrow will be just the same for you and me. All I need will be mine if you are here.
I'm on the top of the world looking creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
I'm on the
top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is a love that I've found since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
The Carpenters, who were on top of the world and on top of the charts in the United States of America in 1973, and as I mentioned earlier, number 5 in the British Isles. This is Keith Skews chatting with Richard Carpenter on his 7th visit to Britain. Richard, turning now to traditional Nashville as against progressive Nashville, the next song we're going to play will be Jambalaya. Is there any story on how you came to record this song?
Not really. It had always been one of my favorites. Of course, it was written by the great Hank Williams and was a country western success in the early 50s when it was written and released. But back then, records really didn't cross over into top 40. At the time, if a black artist came up with a particularly catchy piece, well, to make it to the top 40, it would have to be covered by a white artist. Mm. And same with country western. And you took tunes like Cold Cold Heart and Your Cheatin' Heart and Jambalaya. Well, they got to the top 40 audience by way of white covers. So Jambalaya was a big hit in top 40 by Joe Stafford. And, well, I heard it in the radio when I was a kid and always liked it. It's a tune I never get tired of. I mean, hearing it by Joe, our recording of it, the countless times Karen and I have done it in concert, I just never get tired of Jambalaya. That was an album cut on Now and Then. It was called from the LP by the Japanese and became a gold record over there and as a single, but we never released it as a single in the United States.
A goodbye, Joe, you gotta go, me oh my. He gotta go, pull the pirogue down the bayou. Here's Yvonne, the sweetest one, me oh my oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Thibodeau, fountain, oh, the place is buzzing. A kinfolk come to see Yvonne by the dozen. Dressed in style, they go whole wild, me oh my oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
Jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo. For tonight down, we're gonna see Mama share a meal. Pick guitar, fill fruit jar, and be gay. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
Tonight down, we're gonna see Mama share a meal. Big guitar, the fruit jar, and big eel. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
As I say on request shows, listen to the words carefully. Jambalaya, interesting version by the Carpenters from the charts of 1974, where the song reached number 12 here in the British Isles. Richard Carpenter, our next song is Please Mr. Postman, not a Lennon and McCartney composition, as many think. We'll have a Beatles song later on, but Messrs. Holland, Gorman and Bateman, who wrote this one, in fact, for the Marvelettes in 1964. There was a cover version in Britain by the Beatles. So, why did you, the Carpenters, decide to record a single that had already been a hit twice round?
I thought, in its way, it's timeless, and of course a whole new generation was coming along, growing up by the time Karen and I released it. And really, even though it's just four chord changes over and over, there's something very magical about that piece. And each version, the three, and there have been more, but just speaking of the Marvelettes, the Beatles, and the Carpenters, they're quite a bit different from one another. And I like all three. The thing is, you had some teenagers just coming to to their teens who went crazy over that record and, of course, think we were the first people to have recorded it because they're too young to ever hear of the Marvelettes.
Well, it did very well for you. In 1975, it reached number two, and here comes Please, Mr. Postman.
Stop, whoa, yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait,
wait, hey, hey, hey.
Please, Mr. Postman from the Carpenters. Ladies and gentlemen, I promised you music written by Lennon and McCartney just before we played in that record. So, Richard, do you have a favourite song of the Beatles, or better still, perhaps we could take a track from the singles album? What would be your favourite choice?
Well, I don't really have one favourite. Close to You's up there, and Ticket to Ride has always been one of my favourites.
He said that living with me
To ride.